is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. GM, we remember Delanie Walker's comments yesterday. Something, no need to play it, but something along the lines of, hey, back in the day when I got in the league, if we were 1-2, everybody would have been mad and everybody would have been yelling and there would have been players-only meetings. And now these kids today, they don't take it like that anymore, is basically what it paraphrased out to be, right?
Okay.
So Mike Vrabel today was asked about Delanie Walker's comments and was asked about, you know, hey, you know, talking about players and things like that. And this is what Mike Vrabel said.
That it's my job to hold everybody accountable, players and coaches, that we're doing our job. And then I'm hopeful that the players can find ways to hold each other accountable. And I think that's the trick for leading people and teaching them and trying to influence them is, you know, different people respond different ways. And I think you have to know who that person is. And but you know, I have to try to do everything in my power to hold everybody accountable. And I certainly use different ways. I have different relationships with different players because of my personality and their personality and how I approach and try to teach and communicate with each of those. So, you know, I don't know if it's any different, but that's – it wouldn't matter if it was any different or not. My job is to try to lead the team and hold everybody accountable to get things done, to prepare, and to ultimately perform.
So Vrabel's kind of like, hey, you know, it's on me, and I got to coach guys differently and guys' attitudes and so on and so forth. So then he was asked about veteran players calling out, you know, hey, you're a veteran player, call out other players. You got a problem with that, coach?
I don't have any problem with it. I mean, it's the jobs that if we have guys that are leaders or have that ability, you know, if they need to call guys out, I don't tell them not to call guys out, or, you know, it's a certain, you know, when you have a team that you have different personalities, you know, it's just important to understand how guys respond, because that's what we have to do. We have to get the best out of everybody and make sure that they're prepared and ready to go for Sunday. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to approach that based on each guy. And I don't have any problem at all for guys holding each other accountable. In fact, that was something that we tried to start early on in the off-season program, was being able to trust guys and hold guys accountable for what we do.
So there's Mike Vrabel saying, I got no problem with guys calling out other guys. In fact, I kind of welcome it. And I wonder if that's a message to Marcus of, hey, and when someone runs the wrong route or somebody drops the ball, don't go up to them and say, hey, it'll be okay. No problems, no worries. No, no, you need to go up there and not call them out publicly, but you need to get in somebody's face and tell them, hey, if you don't catch that ball, I will not throw you that ball. And I wonder if that's a little subtle message from Vrabel there talking about Marcus when he's saying, no, I have no problem with guys calling guys out. In fact, we encourage it during the offseason program, because I don't think Delanie has any problem calling people out. I don't think Kevin Byard has a problem being vocal. Who are the leaders of this team? Casey, I don't think he's got a problem being vocal. I think this is a message to Mariota.
Well, I mean, the truth is there's – I think his point was, hey, if you're one of those guys to do that, then you can do that. I mean, he went over about three or four things that we talked about yesterday. You know, accountability is not accountability to fans or to your family or to, he's talking about accountability to the other players, the guy you're playing next to. And if you're one of those guys, and everybody that's been in a locker room knows who the guy is that can stand up and say it. And if you're one of those guys and you've got that ability and you need to do it, then I think he's saying go ahead and do it. But it doesn't mean, because not everybody can do it. And some of those guys that try it, you know, will end up on their butts. So They need to be, you know, that isn't like a, okay, you guys are free to call each other out. That's not going to be the case. I mean, there's only, in that locker room, I don't even know. I would guess there's maybe four guys on that team that could jump another guy and have the other guy go, okay, I got it. You know, I'm cool.
Like
won't,
Casey.
Won't happen again. I think Casey's probably one of them. Yeah. So I think, you know, that it's a very fine line, and you have to be careful that, you know, when you cross that line, that's like Perry Phoenix. I don't know why that name popped in my head, but Perry would be one of those guys that would think, okay, I need to call somebody out. And then Perry would be one of those guys that would end up on his butt because he'd be calling out Munch or he'd be calling out Matthews or something, you know, and they would knock him out. So, I mean, it's delicate, and you have to be careful about, you know, who can and can't.
So my thing with this is I get that. I understand that, you know, maybe Rashawn Evans is not in a place in his career to be calling guys out. But Marcus is a fifth-year quarterback, and I think they want Marcus to be more vocal, and they want Marcus to be on guys more.
Yeah, but that's not Marcus.
But Marcus has got to do it.
Yeah,
his way that he's doing it now is not working.
It's too late. You can't change in the middle of your fifth year. I mean, that's not going to – they'll see that as phony.
When did Tom Brady start yelling at guys?
Tom has been Tom – well, I say this like I didn't know him when he came in, when he first started. But, I mean, Tom is Tom versus with everybody. I mean, if you're a coach, and this is why, you have to be careful about who the quarterback coach is there, because Tom knows more about football than the average quarterback coach on any team.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that guy come in there and start trying to coach Tom, when Tom and Tom will know immediately, you know, where they are in the relationship and have Tom know more. I mean, you just ruin that guy's career.
Do you know who the quarterback's coach is there?
No.
McDaniels is quarterback's coach / OC.
Yeah.
So there is. And Tom lays into him all the time on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
back and forth.
I mean, I don't think you can be in the NFL. I don't think you can be a successful coach or a successful quarterback if you are non-confrontational. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to throw a temper tantrum like Aaron Rodgers every 25 minutes. But I believe, and I don't, you know, you don't see Russell Wilson go up in guys' faces, but I bet you Russell Wilson makes sure guys know, hey, I'm Russell Wilson. I decide who gets the football. And when I decide who gets the football, you better be there because that's where I'm throwing it. And if you do that again, I'm not throwing it to you again. Like, I guarantee you, I've heard stories about Peyton Manning. One guy, Peyton Manning, I think it was Marcus Pollard told a story where Peyton Manning, some rookie or something, was like, Peyton said, why are you doing that? He goes, well, my position coach told me that I need to do this. And Peyton said, well, your position coach can tell you whatever, but I'm telling you what the blank to do. And so when I tell you what to do, you go do it. And that was the way Peyton approached it. And we all know Peyton is as nice of a guy, and but Peyton could hold you accountable. Brady holds you accountable. The coach has been spending all week talking about holding people accountable, and now he's talking about it's okay to call players out. I think he's totally talking about Mariota, and Mariota's got to figure out how to do it, even at this stage in his career.
No, he can't do it. He can't do it.
Then he can't play quarterback.
Whatever. If that's the reason, then he's done. Because he would be seen as strictly phony, because they know he would be doing it not because it came from the heart or gut or wherever it came from, but because coach told him to do it. And that's trying to be a leader. Leader, you see it all the time, guys trying to be a leader and they can't do it. And they end up hurting themselves even more. A leader is born. A leader is there. When you walk in the locker room, you can just watch the other players and how they operate around certain guys in the locker room. And within half an hour, you know who the leaders in the locker room are. And that they may not say a word the whole time. May not. They may be just sitting at their lockers studying a playbook or something. But you know. And that's where, you know, that is not Marcus. Marcus is really good at some other things, but he is not going to be one to just call guys out.
What happened to the Kansas City Marcus 2 years ago, who when he was mic'd up or when they had the sound effects for the game and he was going over to the sidelines, they're down by three scores, and he's over at the sidelines saying, we're going to win this F-word game. We're going to win this. And LaJuan goes, you lead us there, eight. And he goes and catches the touchdown and throws the block for Derrick Henry. And all the defensive players on the sidelines jump up off the bench to where Jeff Triplett, the horrible referee, is trying to get back, because all the guys ran out onto the field because Marcus threw that block. What happened to that guy? Because that was leadership football right there.
Yeah, that was for real. That came from the gut.
Where was that Thursday at Jacksonville?
It's not. I'm telling you, it's not there. I mean, it was there one time. 4 years, 4.5 years, however long it's been. It's been there one. We've seen it one time.
Do you think that that's what Vrabel wants out of him, though?
Oh, I don't. If it was sincere, if he was that kind of guy, I'm sure it wouldn't bother Vrabel at all. But
you don't think Vrabel, when he's saying, hey, no, I'm cool with guys holding guys accountable and being calling guys out, you don't think Vrabel's saying, I desperately need Marcus to do that?
No.
Because you think Vrabel's sitting where you do this. Vrabel
was one of the best leaders that New England ever had. And Vrabel would never fake it. And he knew it. But when you watch Vrabel, I mean, when Vrabel got in the huddle, when you watch him say things, do things, everybody responded to him. Everybody, coaches included. And so it's if you're truly a leader, you're one of those guys. And there are not many of them, and that's why they're so very, very important to not just football, but any team. You hear hockey, you hear Peter talk all the time about leadership group and leader of this and, you know, the leaders. And it's
leading in football is a little different than leading in hockey, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's, you know, the point is that there are guys that are good at that, and there are guys that just are not good at that.
Let's take your calls. Do you think Vrabel wants Marcus to call guys out? 615-737-1025. Should Marcus try to call guys out? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And coming up next, we'll discuss, is the fact that Marcus is a nice guy hurting him as a quarterback? 615-737-1025, Jared of the GM, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. My friend TJ Anderson, let me tell you something. I absolutely love TJ Anderson and telling you about TJ Anderson. One, TJ is a great, great guy. Two, TJ knows this market, so if you're buying or selling your home, you got to get with my buddy TJ Anderson. That's right. If you're selling your home, TJAndersonHomes.com has literally thousands of people going there every day. So what happens is somebody's looking for a home. They're going to go to TJAndersonHomes.com. You want your home listed there. You also want to sell with TJ because TJ knows the market, so he will get you the best deal possible for your home. The same is true if you're buying. You need to talk to TJ because he has been here for forever, and he knows the market. And unlike others who will sit there and say, hey, get with my people and they'll handle it, not TJ. Yeah, he's got a team that works for him, but when you get with TJ Anderson Homes, you're going to be working with TJ too. And that's why I'm honored to tell everybody about TJ Anderson Homes. It's stressful buying a home. It's stressful selling a home. Let TJ Anderson get you the best deal possible. TJ Anderson Homes, online at TJAndersonHomes.com. TJ Anderson Homes is part of Benchmark Realty. I absolutely love TJ. He's the best kind of guy. And once you sit down with him, you'll know exactly what I mean. That's TJ Anderson, TJAndersonHomes.com. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Very confident in eight. He's been getting it done. You know, it's tough being a quarterback in this league. I want to say you take all the blame no matter what. And that guy, he ain't going to say nothing about anyone. It don't matter if someone dropped the pass on third down or he got sacked multiple times. He's going to just say it was his fault. He got to do better. And that's the sad part. My position say tight end. I don't know what he should say or what he should do. I think Marcus is a genuine guy. And he's just a genuine guy, man. He's not going to not going to point the finger.
Delaney Walker yesterday, we all know Marcus Mariota is the nicest guy in the history of the NFL. That, like, if there was the nicest guy in the league award, he would be up for it every single year. And I'm sure there are some nice guys. I mean, if you're asking me, the nicest guy in Tennessee Titan history would be a tough call between Chris Sanders and Marcus Mariota. I don't know who you pick for nicest guy in the world. But do you think maybe Marcus is too nice and that hurts him as a quarterback? Yeah, everybody loves the fact that he's a nice guy and everybody appreciates, hey, you know, he's a genuine dude and he's down to earth and he cares about everybody and we love him and he's such a nice guy and he's a great guy and he never causes any problems and he's not on social media. He's a nice guy. He's a bad guy. But do you think it hurts him because he is not able to get guys exactly to be where they're supposed to be on a consistent basis?
Well, no, I think that's his leadership style. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's his part. And that's why, I mean, those guys, it would take less of for him to get somebody going because he could just walk over and say, hey, man, we got to make a play or, you know, whatever it is he might say. And people would take that to heart because they know Marcus doesn't say anything about anybody. And they know that Marcus, I mean, his leadership part is not necessarily the good guy, but that's fine. But you heard him. I mean, they know he's not throwing anybody under the bus. He's going to take all the blame himself. He's going to do. And I think consequently, you know, there'll be the group of guys that'll play for him for those reasons. You know, I don't want him to get killed. You know, come on, we got to catch a ball better than that for, you know, for whatever reason. And I think probably in Marcus's defense, that's his leadership style.
Well, it's like somebody dropped the ball in training camp one time. Maybe it was a Patriot practice. I don't know. But it was a third down, and somebody dropped it. And it was one of those ones where they drop it, and everybody at practice is, oh, you know, one of those.
I think it was Ferkser. He walked over to him, and he patted him on the back of the helmet.
Hit him on the helmet. And I saw that, and I'm like, no, you tell Ferkser to catch the ball.
That's it.
Tell him to catch a ball. I think it was Ferkser. And I remember, no, Ferkser fumbled the ball. It wasn't, they weren't even wearing pads. And Ferkser fumbled the ball, and he went up, and he hit him on the helmet. And I'm like, no, no, Marcus. He can't, that is Anthony Ferkser. He cannot be fumbling your football. You know, it's one thing for Delaney to fumble the football. Delaney's got footballs to fumble. It cannot be Anthony Ferkser fumbling your football, and you be okay with it. And as you said.
That's him.
He just pat him on the helmet.
That's his style.
Phones, 615-737-1025. Rob is up next. Go ahead, Rob.
Rob.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys finally addressed the real problem with this team. The real problem is leadership. And the leadership comes from the guys on the field in the locker room. You know, we just celebrated Steve McNair and Eddie George, and I watched those guys play from the time the team got there in Nashville, all the way to the Super Bowl. And those guys led every game, every down on the field. And that's what's missing from this team. We haven't had a good leader on this team since, I'll say, Keith Bullock. Somebody who got the team fired up, who got everybody ready for every play. That's just what's missing.
I mean, you don't think Casey does that?
I haven't seen it on the field. I don't see him getting in people's faces. I don't see him getting people fired up. That's what I see. You know, I had a coach in school years ago that used to tell me, I'll take a guy with the right attitude over a guy with talent all day long, because I could coach that guy and lift him up. The guy with talent thinks he knows everything.
So
he won't listen to me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Thank you for the call, Rob. I don't know what Casey does to fire people up. I don't know. You know, like the Keith Bullock thing, I think it's easy for fans to be like, we haven't had a guy since Keith Bullock, because Keith Bullock was a big fiery guy and was a great player. You know, I think the bigger problem is that you haven't had players as good as Keith Bullock since Keith Bullock. That's the way I think the fans interpret that when they talk about leadership of something that, quite frankly, they don't really know because they're not there.
Well, it's you know, like we were the guy mentioned, Eddie and Steve. you know, Eddie could get there. Eddie could get in somebody's face. And everybody kind of go, ooh, man, you know, Eddie's ticked off now. We better crank it up here. Steve wasn't near as good at that. But Steve could get somebody off to the side and say, hey, you know, we need to start doing this. And that worked. But, I mean, one of the better leaders we ever had on the team, Bruce Matthews, Bruce wouldn't say a word. In all the years, I'm not sure I ever heard Bruce get mad at anybody for anything. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you watched all those offensive linemen, I mean, he was like the leader of the pack. They all followed him around like puppies. And I'm talking about quality guys. And, you know, he was always doing something, starting a game, starting a contest, doing something. And they loved him. And they all wanted to be just like him. Of course, he was another great player. But I think there's, you know, all these guys are a little bit different and do it differently. They just have to be sincere about what they're doing. They just can't be phony about it.
Let's go to Evan, who's up next. What's up, Evan? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think that Vrabel's message to the media was absolutely a veiled message to Marcus, but he can't just say that for the same reason he can't say to the media, no, we don't trust Derek in the passing game. But if you look at where Vrabel's coming from, I mean, Tom Brady was his quarterback, and Tom Brady knows that he can rip anybody on that team, a new one, if they mess up, because he has the performance on the field to back it up. And Marcus, yeah, it's his meek demeanor, but I also think he knows that, hey, if I call out this guy for dropping the ball, he can come right back at me and say, dude, you threw that ball too high. You don't put the ball where it needs to be consistently. And that's the biggest issue here, the fact that Marcus's lack of leadership perhaps comes from a lack of performance on the field to me.
So, Floyd, I'll let you take that.
Yeah, I think that could very well be the case. And we've talked about this before. I mean, it's and this is, we've talked about Marcus in this vein, which is, you know, I'm not sure Marcus has felt completely in control of any offense that he's been a part of in the NFL. And that may be the case right here, right now. And so consequently, it's like we said, he's really apprehensive about approaching somebody and saying, hey, you need to do this, when that receiver can turn right around, you know, and say, well, if you would have thrown the last one lower, I would have caught it.
Yeah, like the touchdown to Sharp that he missed the other night. Like, I mean, if he misses a touchdown to Sharp, how can he then tell Tajay when Tajay screws up, hey, Tajay, you screwed up. Well, you screwed up at Jacksonville. That's a touchdown you cost me.
Yeah.
And I think that's there too. The other thing is, on the comparison to Brady, the one I kind of agree with that and disagree with that at the same time, because the one thing, I don't think Tom Brady was cussing people out as a rookie or a second-year guy with the Patriots when they won that first Super Bowl. Vrabel was there when Tom Brady became Tom Brady. So it's not like Brady now, who will cuss out anybody anytime, and that's just how Brady is, because Brady's 20 years in the league. Vrabel remembers what young Brady was like too. But at the same time, I go back to when Josh McDaniels got the Denver Broncos job, and everyone thought he was nuts, because he wanted nothing to do with Jay Cutler, and he wanted Matt Castle. So he tries to trade for Castle, can't get him, and the media catches wind of it, Cutler catches wind of it, and he wanted nothing to do with Cutler. And in hindsight, does that surprise you that Josh McDaniels, where he came from, would want nothing to do with Jay Cutler as the leader of his football team? Because Cutler is nothing like Brady.
Oh, yeah, nothing. Complete opposite. I mean, now, he would be the one that if he jumped up and started getting in somebody's face, might end up on his butt.
Oh, yeah, Jay Cutler. And I don't know Jay Cutler, but I'm going to guess Jay is not the kind of guy to go up in and get in someone's rear end.
Yeah, Tom, the thing that happened to Tom is what we talk about all the time in the NFL, the ideal situation, which is, you know, that first Super Bowl or two, I mean, he didn't lead him there. He was part of the group. You know, and they were running the ball, and they were playing defense, and he was just not messing it up.
He's throwing to Troy Brown.
And then later on, he evolved into the guy he is now. And, of course, now he's the number one guy, and he can pretty much talk to anybody.
I always want to know what Tom Brady's legacy is like if Drew Bledsoe doesn't win them the AFC title game in 2001. You know, if that – Brady gets hurt at Pittsburgh, Bledsoe comes in, wins him the game – If Bledsoe doesn't win him the game, is Brady still the greatest quarterback who ever lived? I don't know the answer to that. Back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. Boy, let me tell you, I've had so many issues at my home, which is funny because it's kind of new. But every time I've had an issue, Hiller's come out, fixed it, and never had another problem again. That's why I love using Hiller at my home. In fact, I got two things right now that are kind of on the fritz. I need to go ahead and call Hiller. In fact, I don't even need to call him. I just go to happyhiller.com on my phone, set the appointment right there, and Hiller is at the house the next day. That's how simple it was last time I used it. It's easy. That's why Hiller, not only their professionalism and the fact that they get the job done and the fact that they have true transparency pricing, so they give you a great price, that's part of the reason why Hiller has an average 4.8 out of 5-star rating, and they are the best on over 15,000 online reviews. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, where you'll see their logo right there on that ice all season long, and proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
They got good talent, good scheme. They're aggressive. I mean, it's I would say somewhat of a different front, maybe in size, but they make up for it with quickness, athleticism, technique, the way, you know, the effort in which they play. So, I think we have to be smart and be able to run the football and have a good scheme, but also be able to take advantage of some of the, you know, post safety looks that we're going to get on first and second down and be able to throw the football.
That was Vrabel on the Falcons front, and I'm worried they're going to kill Mariota too, just like Jacksonville did. So, you know, maybe we shall hold hands and say a prayer for Marcus on Sunday. But the Atlanta front is no joke. Let's go back to your phones on Mariota on a Thursday. Drew is up next. What's up, Drew?
Yes, sir. I just, you know, I'm sick after going on the fifth year of having a mediocre quarterback that has to step up and actually, you know, tell people what to do and quit playing nice guy. We need somebody that's going to actually push people to do better, and, you know, the more public, the better. But we just got to see something come of it. But that's all I got.
Floyd, what do you think? Thank you.
I mean, that'd probably be ideal for everybody. You know, if you had somebody sincere that could do that. The problem is, you know, that's not him. That's part of the reason. Now, if you look at the other side of that, look at Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is in it. He is on the field, and he is in their face, and he is, you know, great. He is doing all of that stuff. And I think that's probably part of the reason that they took him there, was because of that. And they knew that, you know, that wasn't going to be one of Marcus's strong suits.
So my thing with Jameis in that regard is do you think the fans there are any more or less happy with Jameis than they are here with Marcus?
No.
I mean, I think Jameis is in the exact same place
exactly
as Marcus, and yet he does all the rah-rah stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much Jameis gets on other people. All I know is DeSean Jackson came out last year and said, we got to stick with Fitzpatrick, and that cannot be a good sign when Jameis Winston is your quarterback.
Right. So, I don't, you know, I mean, if you're a young quarterback, even though you're aggressive, and you get on the wrong veteran guy, I mean, there's always the other side of that coin, you know. And it may be the side you don't want to see, unfortunately. But you got to be prepared for it all.
Let's go to Patrick, who's up next on Derrick Henry's pass catching. Go ahead, Patrick.
Where are the numbers? I mean, I see Deion Lewis dropping more balls than anybody in the backfield in the NFL. So, but where are the numbers saying that Derrick Henry can't catch the ball, because all I do is see him catch the ball? That's my question.
I saw Derrick Henry not catch a ball 2 weeks in a row. Did you not see the same thing I saw?
Okay, yeah, I saw the same thing you did, but in a span of three plays 2 games ago, Deion Lewis dropped 2 passes, period. Okay? What are the numbers? Where are the numbers that Derek Mason was talking about or wasn't talking about as far as attempts and passes and catches? Where are the numbers saying that he's
caught 45 balls in 4 years?
There you go. Not enough.
Thank you for the call. I love Derrick Henry more than anybody, and I cannot say that Derrick Henry's a good pass catcher. Like, Derrick Henry is, the thing that's crazy about Derrick is when he gets it, he gets it. Now, he scores touchdowns when he catches the football. The problem is the other day, somebody's smarter than me, but somebody said that the way the play developed, Derrick would have had a touchdown against Jacksonville if he caught the ball. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll take their word for it. So if Derrick's going to have a touchdown in a 14-0 game along the sidelines, you got to catch a ball. That's the same as Delaney dropping a touchdown at San Francisco. That's the same as Rishard Matthews dropping a touchdown against Cincinnati. That's the same as all of it. You know, Corey Davis fumbles the ball too much for my liking. If he caught it more, that'd be a problem. Unfortunately, he doesn't catch a ball enough for him to fumble it enough for it to drive all of us nuts. And he always fumbles it on the sideline, and for some reason, Deion Lewis is always over there to knock the ball out of bounds. But that, yes, I cannot right now tell you that I think Derrick Henry can catch the ball. And coming into the season, I thought he could catch the ball. Now, the ball's hit him in the hands 2 weeks in a row. If you can't catch the ball, you can't catch the ball.
Well, I'm sure. A guesstimate. I mean, there are certain passes that he appears to catch well. You know, something that's like over his shoulder that he can turn and kind of cradle into his hands. He seems to catch better than those that are fired right at his Adam's apple. You know, and he's got to get his hands up and he's got to surround the ball. For some reason, I've seen, you know, two or three of those hit his face mask, which is not a good sign. And maybe that's it. Maybe there's only a couple of patterns you can throw the ball to him that effectively throw the ball to him.
Well, isn't one of them that one out of the backfield on the screen pass that he runs for touchdowns that he dropped 2 weeks in a row?
The one check down, the one that I remember he dropped last week was a check down on the sideline.
Yeah, and
he's just standing
popped him
there.
Right in the
hands. Yeah, just standing there. Looked like they were going to play catch, and I think it hit him in a face mask again.
Ramal says, Derrick Henry's pass catching plus Mariota passing. I like Henry's catching more than the pass even getting to him. Hating on Mariota. By the way, poor Marcus. You know how we did the Marcus Mariota approval poll yesterday?
Yeah.
You know how Marcus during the show yesterday was living at about 32, 33%? You know, I mean, he cracked the 30s, which was good for him. The final tally is in. We got all the hanging chads out of Florida. Marcus's approval rating was 29%. He did not crack 30 from the fans this week, which is disappointing. Steve is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, fellas, man? Great show. Corey Curtis, he deserves an Emmy. I love that, too. Anyway.
Good guy.
But anyway, I mean, Mike, today I'm going to talk about Vrabel. Vrabel, he's confused. Because, I mean, and as far as Marcus, they don't want Marcus to start talking because he's going to say Vrabel is confused. Is Vrabel's confused because there is the pass pocket is the size of a phone booth. The running lanes are the size of a phone booth. You pretty much stuck on stupid with these whack wide receivers we have. And New England, I mean, those guys, the New England, Ignite the Fire, Good to Great, that's not going to get it, man. Man, they are confused. And with Robiskie and Malarkey on the other side of the field, it's going to be personal. So they better have a wish and a prayer. And they trying to use Arthur Smith to be the sacrificial lamb like LaFleur last year. Dude, time's up for John Robinson. Thank you.
Wow.
Hit them all.
I mean, got them all. Wow.
Yeah.
And I love Steve. Run. I do. I love Steve calls all the time. Where does he get any of that from? Like, how are they making Arthur Smith the sacrificial lamb?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not, I love Steve. I ain't throwing nothing out. I'm trying to figure out how he, I mean, it's basically, that's the opinion that everybody but Marcus sucks. You know, because the popular opinion, according to not 29% of you all out there, is that Marcus sucks. That's the opinion. The problem is that his opinion is that it's everybody else except for Marcus, which is what we went into this season saying we wouldn't accept, and yet I sympathize with that opinion because the offensive line is so bad.
Okay. I'm not going there.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mel Kiper Jr., has updated his big board, and you're probably thinking, Jared, it's in September. Why are we talking Mel's big board?
Updated what?
Mel has updated his big board, and I felt like the fans want to know what Mel thinks about the quarterbacks because Mel's got four quarterbacks in his top 20. We'll get to those coming up next. Hey, make your picks now for the three college football underdog teams you think will win this Saturday. The weekly winner will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or concert. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play now. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You and the personnel staff go out this weekend for a little extra college scouting, or do you do a deep dive into the Titans and other NFL teams, or do you do some of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, we'll get, you know, going on the college guys. Our scouts are out on the road now. They're hitting games. I've been to a couple myself. So certainly being mindful of preparation for the 2020 draft, but also preparing for our next opponent, taking a look at what we're doing as well.
J-Rob telling Mike Keith on Titans All Access, hey, I'm going out to college games scouting. Everyone's out there. Floyd, do you think J-Rob is looking extra close at the quarterbacks right now?
I don't know. I mean, you always look a little bit closer at quarterbacks anyway, just because you know how important they are. But I don't know if he's going above and beyond that.
I wonder if he's going above and beyond that, because he might have to draft one. When did you start looking at Vince and Matt Leinart and Jay Cutler and those guys?
I mean, you start almost immediately. I mean, you're now looking, you know, when you go into a school, you're breaking down every player that has a chance to play pro football, whether it's for you or anybody else. So when you go in there, if they've got 15 pro prospects, you're breaking each one of those guys down exactly the same. So it's not like, you know, I'm going to spend 10 minutes on this guy and 2 hours on this guy. I mean, you're going through the whole thing. Now, that being said, like I said, if you've got a quarterback, I mean, you're naturally going to spend, you know, an extra hour or whatever it is watching the quarterback just because you want to have some kind of an opinion, you know, if and when they show up.
So Mel Kiper Jr., I guess, has updated his big board, as Mike Greenberg broke down this morning on Get Up. These are the new high quarterbacks, according to Mel Kiper Jr.
Okay, let's go to this. Mel Kiper has his latest big board out, and there are now four quarterbacks in the top 25. His first draft-eligible quarterback, bear in mind, Trevor Lawrence is not, is Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa, is completing 78% of his passes this year. No one in history has had a higher completion percentage. The second quarterback, number six overall for Mel, is Oregon's Justin Herbert, who has thrown 14 touchdowns this year and has yet to throw an interception. So we knew about those two guys. He's now added two more. The first of them, 24th rated overall prospect, is Jake Fromm from Georgia, the junior improving to 27-5 as a starter with his win over number seven Notre Dame on Saturday. And then former Bulldog Jacob Eason is the final quarterback on Mel's big board. He's thrown for at least three touchdowns in three of his four games thus far this year. So those are the top four guys on Mel's big board as far as the quarterbacks are concerned.
So what do you think of that? He's got Tua, Herbert, Fromm, and Eason as all top 25 players right now. I'm stunned Joe Burrow is not in the discussion somewhere. Now, I don't know what these guys look like as pro prospects. I know you haven't watched a ton of these guys, but what have you seen when you watch these guys play as we talk about maybe the Titans looking for a quarterback in the first round this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, those guys, and this herein lies the problem. The problem that the Titans are going to have, if in fact they end up looking for a quarterback, in my opinion,
Tua's gone,
is that they are not going to have the first pick, mm-hmm, or the second pick, or the, so they're going to be down the line a little bit. So what becomes the issue is, okay, if I could get Tua, I would do it. Yeah, granted, everybody in the league is saying that. Well, if I could get, I love Fromm. If I could get him, I would. I love so-and-so, but I don't really like this guy. Well, if you're picking at 15 because you're 8-8, that may be the only guy that's left. So then the question becomes, do I get a quarterback? A quarterback I'm not crazy about? Or do I go to another position? And that becomes the ultimate question. Because if you're picking first, or if you're going to be the first team to pick a quarterback, I mean, there's going to be somebody out there. And it's not that hard, generally speaking, to pick the best quarterback in the country. You know, if a Peyton Manning's out there, he will stand out. It'll be easy to find.
So I guess I would say that, like, that's what the Giants did with Daniel Jones, right? Like, they were at 17, and they're like, we could probably get Haskins at 17 or get Jones at 17 or get somebody at 17, but we love Jones so much, let's take Jones at 6.
There you go.
And the Titans are not going to have an option of Daniel Jones at 6 this year because they probably won't be picking 6 this year. That's why I wonder about a guy like Burrow, who's not in the top 25, according to Mel Kiper. I mean, I'm guessing that, like, let's say the Titans pick 15th. I'm guessing Tua, Herbert, and Fromm will be gone by the 15th pick.
Oh, I would think.
I think Eason's probably available at 15.
I don't know. Maybe.
Burrow? What do you think of Burrow as a pro prospect?
Oh, I've seen him play a game and a half. Now, the game I saw him play, the last one, he was pretty impressive.
Texas or Vandy?
Vandy. I mean, he lit it up. So, I mean, that was a good game. But, you know, other than that, I don't really – I mean, I've seen him last year play a little bit, and, you know, he was okay. But
what'd you think of him against Texas?
This year he was good. I only saw part of that game. I saw about half of it.
What if he goes to – what if Burrow goes into Tuscaloosa, beats Alabama? Then he's going to shoot up the draft conversations and everything else. Are you as sold on Tua as being easy 1-1, going to be a good pro player or anything like that?
I mean, I would have to, again, without studying him, yeah. I mean, just watching what he does and how he plays. I mean, he's, you know, you're throwing for 5 or 6 touchdown passes every week.
So is Burrow.
That's good. You know, that's pretty good. Now, given that
injury history,
we have to keep in mind that his receiving group is better than our receiving group. So that may be an indication of, you know, who he's throwing to and how they're doing.
So that's what Mel's got. Mel's got Tua, Herbert, Fromm, and Eason in the top 25. By the way, I forgot about Eason. You know, when he was at Georgia, I thought he was destined to go off and go be the number one overall pick. And big, tall guy, looked like Matthew Stafford, and totally forgot about him, and Mel's got him in his top 25.
I remember talking at points in time about how the SEC doesn't have the quarterbacks. Every one of those guys are SEC-born quarterbacks.
Herbert at Oregon.
Oh, yeah, good point.
What did you think of him when he played Auburn?
You know what? Wasn't that impressive.
I have no interest in the kid from Oregon. I've had enough Oregon. If they move off of this Oregon, then you're not going to have the chance at the Hawaiian guy, and I don't want the Oregon guy. So it'd be kind of starting over and fresh and so on and so forth. I don't want to draft. I don't want to draft a quarterback because you're not going to be good if you draft a quarterback right off the bat. 615-737-1025. DeJuan is up next on the Titans wide receiving group, which Floyd said is not as good as Alabama's. Go ahead, DeJuan.
I want to add, I mean, I don't think it's fair to rate our receiving core until we get somebody throwing the ball. I mean, if you think about it, look at Michael Thomas' stats ever since Teddy Bridgewater took over. It's like 50 yards, 40 yards. I mean, who's throwing the ball does matter as a receiver. If I was throwing a football, it wouldn't have any yards. I was looking at some footage of Randy Moss when he was a Titan, and I saw, I think, Kerry Collins throwing, you know, he was the quarterback, never threw Randy Moss the ball. As soon as Rusty Smith got in there, just throwing it up in the air. And that's when Randy Moss caught his first pass, just throwing it up in the air. That's what Mariota needs to do with our receivers, but he doesn't, so you can't see him blossom.
Thank you for the call, DeJuan. Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's absolutely right. Who's throwing you the ball? That's why when you're a receiver and you're a free agent and you start looking for a job around the league, I mean, if you can go to Green Bay or you can go to New England or you can go to New Orleans or you can go to where there are established quarterbacks, that's where you're headed, you know, everything being equal. And you don't want to go someplace that, you know, they're going to draft a quarterback, or you got a second year kid, or you got a whatever, simply because they're, you know, you don't want to, your numbers are going to be reflected by how good that quarterback is.
615-737-1025. Time to ask the GM. Load up the phone line, 615-737-1025 for Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. The best call for the GM will win a pair of three-day passes to the Exit 111 Festival in Manchester on Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 13th. Lineup includes Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Slayer, and their last ever show in Tennessee, Deftones, Ghost, ZZ Top, and more. That's right. Tickets to the Exit 111 Festival are up for grabs for the best call for the GM, 615-737-1025 for Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. That's coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.